Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makassa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you.
Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, CJSF.ca, streaming worldwide. I'd like to acknowledge that our work takes place on the ancient historical lands of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh people. We support reconciliation and know within our lifetime a shift will be made so that the original people of the land will be recognized, honored, and compensated for their work. We have something of worldwide significance happening in Vancouver. The Bill Reid Gallery of Northwest Coast Art at 639 Hornaby is going to have something special happening. Vancouver is the only public gallery in Canada devoted to contemporary Indigenous art of the Northeast Coast. And you're going to learn through curators and representatives of the art-led workshops about this exhibition. Today, my guest is doing what we always do. We're going to speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard, which will be going to visit this gallery during the period that it's in Vancouver. I'd like to introduce you to my special guest.
Yeah, so my name is Alia Bubard, and I'm the assistant curator at the Bill Reid Gallery, and I'm also the co-curator of Bright Futures, which is an exhibition that just opens up today, April 26th, and goes until January 14th of next year. Bright Futures is an exhibition that features the work of 14 contemporary Indigenous artists who were inspired by Bill Reid. So our gallery, the Bill Reid Gallery, is named after Bill Reid, who was a Haida artist that lived from 1920 until 1998. So it's been 25 years since he's passed away. And in the creation of this exhibition, we were really thinking about what would Bill Reid think about art today on the Northwest Coast. And this exhibition was really inspired by that. So we put out a call to submissions back in January and received about 40 submissions. And from there, we chose the 14 artists. And we feel like these artists chosen exemplify where the direction of Northwest Coast art is going. But also we chose them based on the fact that they all had very strong ties to Bill Reid themselves. We're really inspired by him. So there is a variety of artworks in this particular exhibition. There are things like jewelry. We've got printmaking. There is painting, regalia. So a whole bunch of different things. And this exhibition is really like a celebration of where contemporary Northwest Coast art is going.
You mentioned art, and I understand, unlike people that are just known for painting, there were at least six different elements that he worked with. What are some of those elements?
Yeah, so Bill Reid did a whole bunch of different things throughout his artistic career. He was a jeweler, a sculptor, a painter, a printmaker, a carver. So he did a whole bunch of things. And not only that, he did art throughout his whole life. He was always making things. The earliest piece that we have at the gallery of his was something that he made when he was only 12 years old. And then we have pieces all the way up until the last years of his life when he was in a wheelchair, suffering from Parkinson's disease, which he battled for about 30 years. So he was making these incredible wire sculptures that he made out of one spool of wire and would bend it into these shapes to make it look like a three-dimensional sculpture. So we have a really good selection of those works that he was making even at the end of his life. And I would definitely recommend everybody come and see them because they're really special.
It seems like with his passion for art that people who might feel like, or sometimes people are told you can't do that anymore because your hands are too weak. So it's a testimony to being able to work with a physical challenge and still create something that has inspired people like the numbers of artists that are going to be, that were selected to present. What is unique about this as an exhibition lasting for this amount of time?
Yeah, so what I feel like is really special about this exhibition is that a lot of the artists we chose directly respond to some of the artworks that we have on display of Bill's. So if you come into the gallery, there are, like, in particular, the wire sculptures, there are two artists who responded to those particular wire sculptures and created this long exposure photograph of depicting a form line design. And throughout the gallery in this particular exhibition, you'll see different artists who are responding to these particular artworks in their own way. So I think that's something that is really unique. It's really cool to see, to walk into the gallery and see how the contemporary artist's work is responding to Bill Reed's and how we've paired those up.
What are the ways that people can take part in listening to an explanation or presentation? Are they digital or are they in person?
We have several in-person programmings. We do try to have some more distanced online programming when it comes to tours and things like that. I would say coming in for a guided tour, we also have our education specialist who guides students through the gallery. And they get to learn about things like contemporary Indigenous issues and more broader topics about Indigenous people and teachings and things like that. We also have our monthly programming, which is usually a workshop and an artist talk that we try to have every month. So that's another way for people to come in and learn about the art that we have in the gallery.
And I understand you have one artist that's already confirmed for one of these talks. Could you tell us who that is?
Yeah, so Maynard Johnny Jr. is an artist who is part of the exhibition. He's got a beautiful print in the show, and he is coming in for a workshop next month. We don't have all the details confirmed right now, but we're hoping to get that confirmed in the next week or so. So if you are interested, you can definitely look on our social media for details about that workshop.
Now, as you mentioned, social media, tell us the words that they would need to put in to connect with you through the social media.
Yeah, so we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page. So it would just be Bill Reed Gallery. So B-I-L-L-R-E-I-D Gallery. And then our website is also billreedgallery.ca.
And I understand Simon Fraser University, who's also our station is associated with, has been a major supporter of the Bill Reed Gallery. How is that situated or related to the university?
Yeah, so they're our collections partner. We have a major core collection at the gallery of Bill Reed's work, and they help to ensure the works that we have at the gallery. Back in the early days when the gallery first started, there were some financial issues, and they so generously agreed to partner with us and cover a portion of the costs associated with ensuring Bill Reed's artwork. So SFU students can get into the gallery for free. You just have to show your student card.
Okay. And what is the pricing for other people getting into the show or the gallery?
Yeah, so we have our general admission prices. So for Indigenous peoples, it's always free. For adults, it's $13. For seniors, 65 or over, it's $10. Just general students is $8. Youth 13 to 17 is $6. And for children, it's free.
Wonderful. Now, for Indigenous people who are free, do people have to have a card or anything, or how do they just identify?
Well, it's self-identifying. No ID is necessary because of the legislature that has happened in the Canadian government. There are a lot of people who are non-status Indigenous people, but are still indigenous and have their nation and nationality, but it is a little bit of a barrier for some people, so we just always say it's self-identifying.
Now, I understand for you as a curator, now co-curator, something exciting is happening for you next month.
Yeah, so I am moving into the head curator position from the assistant curator position, and I will be taking over for Beth Carter, who is our current head curator. She's transitioning into, she calls it repositioning, not retiring, because she'll still be associated with the gallery in different ways. She has a couple of projects coming up. But yeah, I'm moving into the head curator position, and I'm really, really excited about it.
And part of your passion is that you have had good mentors. How important do you think it is for someone to look for or open themselves to the possibility of having a mentor?
I think it's absolutely essential. I mean, for me anyways, I don't think I would have been able to do or move into the head curator position without Beth's mentorship. Just having her to show me the way and the ropes and just kind of everything that I need to know has been really great. And we're having kind of a long transition from her leaving into me going into the position. So having her guidance has been just such an incredible way for me to learn and do my job. So,
Now, it's obvious you're very passionate about the job. Sometimes seeing the word curator, people don't know exactly what's involved. What was involved in curating this particular exhibition?
yeah, so for us at the Bilry Gallery, we have a smaller curatorial team, which means that we do the brunt of the work, but pretty much, well, basically all of it. So as a curator, we really work on the exhibition text, create the decide on the theme of the exhibition, and then from there choose artists who relate to the exhibition, who will kind of exemplify the or amplify the exhibition themes. For this particular exhibition, it was a submission basis, but for other shows that we do, we reach out to artists ourselves and we'll ask if they want to be involved in the exhibition. So we work with them and then kind of create the layout of the exhibition. The didactic materials, we'll work with the designer to create those. And then, yeah, from there we kind of work on programming. So it's really it's very busy job.
How many people submitted, and how many were accepted?
We had between 40 and 50 submissions for this particular exhibition, and we chose 14 from there. We were actually aiming for 10 artists, but we could not decide. But we ended up choosing artists who really fit the theme of the exhibition, so it was kind of hard to decide from there.
Okay, so I think that's an excellent career building experience for someone to get accepted into a major exhibition like this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the artists, we had our opening celebration just yesterday. A lot of them mentioned that they were really honored to just be showcasing their work alongside Bill Reeds, who, it was such an incredible person who inspired a lot of artists here in the Northwest Coast. So the work that he did really helped pave the way for younger artists today.
And I think Vancouver is the only public gallery in Canada that's devoted to contemporary Indigenous art of the Northwest Coast.
Yes, absolutely. And we're really proud of that. There are a lot of commercial galleries throughout Vancouver that do showcase contemporary Indigenous art, but we are the only one that is educational and nonprofit.
Are people able to purchase any art through the exhibition?
Not through the exhibition itself, but we do have a gallery shop where we feature a lot of local artists. They have prints. There's also a lot of just other merchandise that you can get that is created by Indigenous artists.
And so that people will know that they have authentic art and not something that was created in a machine. I wanted to ask you, for people who might have motion, might have challenges, Is the gallery accessible for people?
Yeah, there's a lot of spaces to get through if you have a wheelchair or if you have any other type of mobility issues. We do try to make sure that things are accessible in our gallery, especially with labels and things that are on the walls that are have to you have to read. But even getting to the gallery, we have a page on our website that shows how to get there if you have some accessibility issues. And I would always suggest, phoning ahead if you have any concerns before you come visit.
Okay, and what is that location? It's hidden in the downtown, but explain to people again where you're located.
Yeah, so our address is 639 Hornby Street, and we're actually just a block down from the Vancouver Art Gallery. We aren't right on the street. You actually have to get up a set of stairs to get to us, but we're pretty accessible. We're by two big transportation hubs, the Burrard Station and the Granville Station. So it's not too difficult to get to us. It's just hard to find us from the street.
And there's an elevator.
We do have an elevator in the parkade next to us. It's kind of a weird layout of the building, but that's why I would suggest going on our website and phoning ahead if you have any concerns.
Okay, that's good to know. I wanted to ask you if people wanted to pursue a career as a curator, what are some of the things you would suggest that they do in order to get the courses or the contacts they need.
Yeah, I would suggest doing shorter term positions like an internship or a fellowship before I actually got into this position as assistant curator. I was working in Manitoba at the Manitoba Museum as the Indigenous Arts Leader Fellowship, and that was pretty important part as to why I got the job where I'm at now. So when we're in the process of hiring new employees or people who are doing the curatorial or programming work, that's something that we really look for is what type of experience have you had in a gallery before coming to us? It doesn't have to be a really long position, just as long as we see that you're interested in doing museum and gallery work and that you have an interest in pursuing that as a career.
Do you have any positions for volunteers? Do you welcome volunteers?
We do have a couple of positions. We don't have them throughout the entire year, but if you just reach out to us, we might have a couple of places where we can put you, and I'm sure we always need help, so.
Okay. We've heard about the Bright Futures exhibit. There's another exhibit called Matriarchs happening there. Could you share a little bit of information about that and why people will get a better understanding of that long word by coming to see the exhibit?
Yeah, so the exhibition is titled Matriarch Seen and Unseen, and it's an exhibition featuring the work of Melody Charlie, who is a Nuchanelt photographer based on Vancouver Island. I was actually the curator for that exhibition, and I worked with her directly to create the entire content of the show. So it's showcasing the work of her photography and really just focusing on the idea of matriarchs. So when I was initially coming up with the themes of the exhibition or trying to, I was really inspired by what she had on her website. And she had this amazing portfolio of just photos that she had taken of different people and different scenarios. And she always works with Indigenous people from various First Nations on the island and kind of up and down the coast here in BC. In particular, she had a really strong portfolio of women and matriarchs. And that was something that popped out to me. So in working with her, she decided that she wanted to focus on matriarchs who are seen and loud and visible, but also emphasizing that there are matriarchs who are unseen, who do work behind the scenes, who are very quiet and kind of lay low. So she wanted to celebrate both types of matriarchs. And I think with this exhibition, it's really great because not only can Indigenous people come in and relate to seeing matriarchs represented, but also types of ethnicities and nations can come in, and everybody's got a matriarch in some right, I would think. So yeah, it's a beautiful exhibition featuring a lot of all of her candid portraits that she's taken over the last 10 years or so. And not only matriarchs who are necessarily just mothers, but those who are aunties, grandmothers, elders, and matriarchs to be. So it's a beautiful exhibition featuring a lot of her incredible work.
And how long will that exhibition be up?
That one will go until the end of June, so June 25th.
Okay, so you have a shorter time frame to take part and enjoy that exhibition. And then Bright Futures goes all the way till January?
Yeah, January 14th. So you've still got quite a lot of time to come and see. But we're hoping to have some other programming throughout the duration, whether that's workshops or artist talks or panel discussions and things like that.
Okay, and I think you have the name of the first one doing a presentation. So maybe you could give that name and date so people can lock it into their books and don't miss it.
Yeah, so Maynard Johnny Jr. is one of the artists featured in Bright Futures, and he's coming in to do a workshop next month. I'm pretty sure it'll be a painting workshop. We haven't figured out the date, but if you want to keep an eye out on our social media, we'll definitely post it there.
Okay, so lots of reasons to be on that website and to tell people and to visit more than once, because with all the richness of Bill Reed's work and then work that has been inspired and presented by the 14 contributors, you might want to go 14 times. So thank you so much for taking time to explain that and to welcome people to come to the Bill Reed exhibition.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was great to be able to talk about this show.
Okay, well, I'll see you at the show.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, cjsf.ca, streaming worldwide. I'm continuing our discussion about the Bill Reid exhibition. It is here in Vancouver starting this week, and it goes all the way to January. It is a treasure located in downtown Vancouver, and we have a treasure related to this show. We have one of the artists, Shoshana Green, who's going to introduce herself and tell us about what she has contributed and also some highlights of what you will see when you come to visit the Bill Reid Gallery. Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, my name is Shoshana Green. I was born and raised in Haida Gwaii. I grew up in Skidigit. I currently live here in Vancouver. I moved here in 2010, and then I moved back here in 2017, and I've semi-permanently been here since.
Now, I mean, people are hearing my show on Friday, but Tuesday, this exhibition launch. What is so significant about this exhibition?
Well, it's significant for me, I guess. So, like, Bill Reid, you know, he's always been, like, a cultural treasure for us back home and also, like, nation and worldwide. You know, it's, like, always been somebody we've all known about in Skidigit especially. And when I first moved here in 2010, my mom was helping me transition going from small rural life to down here in Vancouver. And the first place she took me, first day being here, was the Big Gallery to go see Time Warp. It was a show on weaving that was there, and it happened to have like some of my childhood best friends' mom's work in the show. So it was just kind of like a nice little place for home to be coming here to. And then as I pursued my career, or my schooling, sorry, and I started to work as a summer student, I